I'm Nick Wallace. This is reporting Depp v. Heard. Regular updates from the court in the celebrity trial of the century.
We had three witnesses on day three. The first was Christy Dombrowski, Johnny Depp's older sister, who was being cross-examined by Amber Heard's team. Then, of course, Isaac Baruch, easily the most entertaining witness of the 2020 trial, except very few people got to see him because it wasn't being televised. Now, Isaac Baruch and his performance in the witness box on day three has gone global, and it is very much worth catching up with if you possibly can. Finally, we had Brandon Patterson, who was the buildings manager at the East Columbia building where Johnny Depp owned five penthouse lofts. Later on, Johnny Depp fans Taylor and Krista will join me on our podcast Park Bench to reflect on these three witnesses and what happened in court. But first, I want to share with you a clip from Court TV, which is an American channel which covers court cases all over America. They have the pool broadcasting rights to this particular trial. They get to film inside the courtroom. They get to film the principals leaving the court precincts, and they beam the footage into American and worldwide homes. Today, they were covering Depp v. Heard, and they asked me to be a guest on their debrief show. They started by asking what I thought the key differences are between the 2020 UK libel case and what's happening here in Virginia.
It's on telly. It's on telly over here, and that's the main difference. And there are really strict rules on what journalists can do in the court behind us compared to England. We were allowed to live tweet, which is how I found
myself. So you were in the courtroom?
I was in the courtroom.
Tweeting away?
Well, we had an overflow courtroom, which was in the same way they've got an overflow courtroom here. So we weren't in the main court because it was in the middle of the pandemic.
Oh, that's right.
And that was one of the reasons that my live tweets started to get... I was getting 10 million page impressions a day from my tweets because no American journalists could come over to the UK to cover the trial. So I became the only source of blow-by-blow information about what was going on to a huge audience across the pond and all around the world who, because it wasn't televised, didn't know what was going on. So I just sort of idly live tweeted. Because in England, we're allowed to do it without having to ask permission of the judge.
Right.
You can just rock up into court and just start live tweeting.
In terms of what's happening, though, on the witness stand and the testimony and the lawyers, how would you compare the two cases? Is Johnny Depp's case basically the same?
Yeah, it's just that the jurisdiction is different, and that's why he's suing her here, saying that the article that she wrote in the Washington Post defamed him in the same way that he said the Sun article in written by Dan Wooten was also defamatory. The key thing about that UK trial was that he lost. One single judge, Mr. Justice Nickel, decided that Johnny Depp essentially was a wife beater, that the Sun's allegations were substantially true.
But how about people overseas? You're getting a lot of response online. To everything. Do people believe in that first trial?
Do you know what? It made me realize just how famous Johnny Depp is. I mean, I knew he was a big film star, but his audience, because his body of work has, you know, he's been famous for 40-odd years now, hasn't he? And so there are millions of fans all over the world who don't want to believe that he could be a monster. I don't know how relevant people see the UK trial as being, but it's a big deal in the UK because now anyone in the UK can call Johnny Depp a wife beater.
Right, right. Regardless of what happens.
Regardless of what happens here.
Your thoughts about the jury? Young men, it looks like.
It's 8 men and 3 women.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is an interesting split, isn't it? I mean, the
because all the people in the gallery are women. All the gallery's all women. All Johnny Depp's fans.
Yeah, pretty much, isn't it? But the and both sides have a veto on who these jurors are, and they have to come to an agreement pretty quickly over the course of a day, working with the judge to get someone who they believe will give an honest opinion. I have to say, I've never witnessed jury selection before on Monday, and I thought it would be tedious. It was fascinating seeing the process of the American judicial system where people clearly bend over backwards to be fair. I thought that was a sharp contrast with what we had in the UK, where we've got one judge, and a very experienced judge who wrote the book on libel
law in the
UK.
Right, but he's a professional.
And he's a professional, but it's one person. And here, seeing two teams working out with the judge how to get 11 neutral people in that courtroom was fascinating. And I felt comforted that they are going to come up with the right verdict when they eventually do at the end of this trial, because the effort that went into making sure there was very little scope, if any at all, for any sort of bias.
Before we run out of time tonight, we want to have you back during this trial, obviously.
I'd love to. I'm going to have to get you to do an interview, though, for my podcast.
Absolutely.
On the park bench. We don't have a well-appointed gazebo. We've got a park bench over there.
Okay, on the park bench, not a problem. Not a problem.
Well, I'm going to be working with Vinny to find a time that we can get him on the podcast park bench. But in the meantime, I'm going to be joined on the bench with Taylor and Krista, two Johnny Depp fans, to discuss day three's goings-on in court.
Welcome to my adopted park bench.
Yeah.
Just outside Fairfax County. Yeah. Court. It was, as we say in Britain, a game of two halves.
Yeah.
First morning...
Good.
Lively.
Because Isaac came on and it was like...
All right, I know. It's the elephant in the room, isn't it? Isaac, he was a teenage friend of Johnny's, and they were in bands or in the music scene around the same time. He started working in the Viper Rooms when Johnny owned it, and they've essentially been friends for more than 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
And a really key moment in his life happened when Isaac became a painter, and Johnny got to hear about it, and he asked to see one of his paintings, and then after seeing some of his paintings, Johnny said, right, why don't you become an artist in residence in one of my penthouse suites? Which it was actually quite emotional when he told the story, wasn't it?
Was.
How that happened,
yeah,
because he just, you know, describes it as life-changing.
Yeah,
and so for a long time since then, Isaac has lived in properties owned by Johnny, and they obviously have a very, very close relationship. Tell me about your impressions of Isaac Baruch.
Isaac was a larger than life character, definitely, in the courtroom. he basically owned the courtroom as far as, like, owning the space and his presence and stuff.
He radiated charisma,
didn't he?
He's one of the most charismatic people that I've seen, and you can understand, I guess, why Johnny warned him.
I think a lot of people would like to have friends with Isaac.
I would be friends with that guy.
Definitely. He was really genuine in what he had to say, and especially when he started telling about his story where Johnny basically changed his life, you could tell that it was really authentic. The other time that it was really impactful was when he was talking about the whole thing with Amber and how he just wants him to heal and stuff. And he broke down and cried because it affects everybody.
Emotional.
Yeah, that made me emotional.
Amber Heard's counsel, sorry, I keep saying counsel, which is the English word. Amber Heard's attorney described that as a rant.
Yeah. Yeah, she described it as a rant and a rave.
His defense towards the question was most definitely valid.
Right.
I suppose looking at this from a slightly technical and boring legal perspective, he was there to talk about, to give a character witness for Johnny, but also to talk about bruises or alleged bruises on the face of Amber.
Yeah.
That was obviously one side of it, and you know, he was absolutely adamant he never saw any marks or any bruises, and then the point from the other side was, well, how would you know how a woman conceals any damage done to her face?
Exactly.
And I think what he wanted to say was what he said in that moment where he did get very emotional, which was that he thought Amber Heard was lying, that she'd created this lie. But of course the opposite side to that is the point that the other side made, which was, you know, you don't know. In contrast to what happened this afternoon, and what happened this afternoon?
It was really boring. I guess they were talking to one of the people that worked in the building where they both lived.
Yeah, about all the security penthouses. Footage.
Yeah, and reviewed the security footage, asked the same question quite a few times in different ways.
It's
reviewed the footage, asked certain things to be expanded upon.
But it was essentially 87 pieces of CCTV footage from what wasn't the same lift, but it started to feel like it after a while. And there was a building manager at the ECB, the penthouse suites where Isaac and Johnny and Amber lived, just asking if he could verify that this looks like footage from the ECB.
Yeah.
Which he did.
Yeah.
87 times.
Yeah.
I described this on British television yesterday as the libel trial of the century. I was reviewing my opinion of that after hour three of the lift CCTV footage this afternoon. I mean, I know it's going to ramp up later. And I spoke to a journalist who's covered a lot of American trials afterwards, and he said, that's all about getting that into evidence. But one thing that was made a huge amount of in the opening salvos from Johnny Depp's team was this fake punch.
Yeah.
So we thought we were going to see this fake punch, which Brendan Patterson had seen at the time, as had Isaac Baruch demonstrated the fake punch during his evidence. So we thought, we're going to go through hours and hours of CCTV footage and see the fake punch. And the punch line to this afternoon was, oh no, we couldn't find the fake punch. We've lost it.
Right, yeah.
The attorneys didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
We all saw it, but no one subpoenaed it, so.
Right.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Very
if you wanted to write a cliffhanger with a big finale.
That wasn't it.
That wasn't it, was it this
that
afternoon?
Not it. yeah.
I mean, I sat through 10 days of evidence in the
right,
UK.
Yeah, you sat through
nothing
the whole thing.
Was as boring as that.
Right.
Trust
yeah.
me.
I mean,
so,
you got to watch her shove food in her face when she's supposed to ask a question.
And did you see the what the judge said at the very end of today?
No, what'd she say?
Have you gone by that stage?
I was gone. I was like,
right.
I can't do this.
Right at the
fall
end
asleep.
Of proceedings yeah. today, the judge looked at both parties and she just said, this trial is only 6 weeks long. You are going to have to speed up. Well, there you go. Another park bench interview done and dusted. Wasn't it nice to meet Taylor and Krista? That's it for reporting Depp v. Heard. Just to tell you that Laurel Anderson will be taking the stand tomorrow in day four of Depp v. Heard at Fairfax County Court. And also Kate James. Now, Kate James was the former assistant of Amber Heard, who had some pretty derogatory things to say about her in court in 2020. I don't know whether she'll even be allowed to repeat them given some of the allegations that she made. So it's certainly going to make for an interesting examination and cross-examination.
I'm Nick Wallace. This is reporting Depp v. Heard.